It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It is Wednesday. That means California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Today featuring Dan Barwick from Paradise Ridge. We'll get an update on what they're planning. From what we understand, they are planning on rebuilding. They lost pretty much everything in the fires. The greatest place in Santa Rosa, the greatest view of Santa Rosa in Santa Rosa is at Paradise Ridge.
It's a spectacular place, property.
Ah, unbelievable. Of all the places, it's such a shame.
Who would have guessed that the fires would have been that devastating up there?
Yeah.
Just incredible.
So we'll find out. Dan's not here yet, but he's apparently on his way. Barry Herbst is on his way, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn. Let's wait till Dan Barwick gets here to talk more about Paradise Ridge. But what's on your mind aside from that?
Well, I got a bunch of columns in the wind here, and today's column is all about acid and pH and what's dry and what's not dry.
You know, it's hard to understand that, and after all these years of doing this show with you and everything, and you talk about it, and I still can't get my head around it every time.
Well, it is chemistry, after all, so that's one of the problems. And I can't really try to explain it in the newspaper because 90% of the readers are not chemists.
Right.
So, or maybe 98%. The other thing is that I'm doing a piece on Chardonnay. What is Chardonnay? Why Chardonnay? What do you have to know to appreciate Chardonnay? And then the following week is going to be an article on wine in cans.
Yeah, that's another one I can't get my head around.
I don't get that either.
You said, what did you say about Chardonnay? How do you
get to know, what does the winemaker have to think of before they begin to make one?
Really?
And it's really tricky. You got all these things. Well, it's worse in some ways than any other grape variety because there's so many inputs that the winemaker can do. And if they use the right inputs, it makes a really good wine from decent grapes. But you have to have really great grapes to make a great Chardonnay. We've tasted some great Chardonnays on this show.
No kidding.
And they have been really wonderful wines, but they tend to be expensive. And the question is, why are they expensive? Because it takes really important two major issues to craft a really good Chardonnay. Number one, it has to be really, really good grapes. And number two, it has to be from a very small amount of grapes off of that acreage. And then on top of that, you need barrels and you need time and so forth. It's a really tricky business.
You said something to the effect of what you need to know about Chardonnay.
Yeah.
All I need to know is that there's a bottle in my kitchen.
There you go.
All right. Oh, Barry Herbst is here.
And I guess we got a rosé. It's not like there is any secret about what you're going to bring.
Ferrari Carano Shard 2016.
Oh, that'll be fun.
And it's a screw top. I love that.
Yeah. Get right to it. Is this me?
And you got the Copan Riesling, or the Copan rosé. That's fabulous.
He was wine of the week.
Hold on. He's got to go through his sliding glass door and turn your mic on. There he is, Barry.
Am I alive? Okay,
welcome, buddy.
Thank you.
He is, of course, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn. I'll let you do this. Did I tell you the grape growers are making us a lazy Susan?
Yeah. You have already said that. And I'm waiting for it to be Russian River Valley wood.
I think it's something to do with wine barrels or something. But it's going to be. See, that avoids me bending over this long table and screwing my back up even more. 2016 Ferrari Carano. Hey, give me some Ferrari Carano history.
Don Carano was a casino owner in Reno.
Hmm.
And his son actually played quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
Really?
Yeah, for a number of years. And Rhonda Carano, his wife, was masterful at designing gardens. So they put together a property up at the north end of Dry Creek, and it is stunning up there. Some of the most beautiful gardens in this county.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And you can walk through there. You think to yourself, I'm going to get married again right here.
Yeah, it's been a beautiful property for a long time. Yeah, they were early on in the game.
Wow, and iconic for their wines. This is unbelievable to me. Am I missing something?
No, this is beautiful wine. It's that sort of slightly old-fashioned style in terms with decent amount of extraction, some oak characteristics, really a little bit of this tropical fruit component, which stands out on top of the aroma.
Mm.
And then underneath there's a little pineapple, and it's really a kiwi almost.
Yeah. And for years this was allocated. It's kind of what put them on the map, and the demand was intense early on, and they couldn't keep up with it. I think probably maybe 10 years on, they started making enough. Production got to the point where, you know, they didn't have to allocate a little bit here and a little bit there. But it still kind of, you know, runs the show, pays the bills.
You can get this at Bottle Barn, can you?
Yeah, and we just got a particularly good deal on it. You know, they were end of the month, the wholesalers were trying to hit a number, and we did a little wheeling and dealing, and this is normally in the mid-20s. I think the winery might even be close to 30 a bottle, and we've got it $18.99 right now.
Hey, that's a deal.
Yeah. No kidding. Oh, really the finish on this.
Yeah, it's really creamy, and it's got that rich. But plenty of good acidity in the finish, too. It does finish up a little Christmas. That's nice.
I like your old-school description. It's not it doesn't have that sweetness that seemed to creep in on some of the bigger, richer styles, and not too heavy on oak. Just everything's really in check and well-made.
Nice balance. Yeah.
And it is a 2016. How long would you lay this down? You don't lay shards down as much.
I don't age whites very much unless I know exactly what's in them, and that's where my article from this morning comes in, what's the pH, what's the acid. Those numbers are really a clue as to whether these wines have a future. This one probably about 2 more years, and then I would drink it up, because 2 years will give it some of that additional bouquet, but once you get beyond 2, you're going to start to lose some of that beautiful top notes of fruit and tropical notes.
Mm.
I should mention they also make a reserve Chardonnay that's in the $35 range, I believe. And they've even, last year, they started with the first rosé ever. So you know rosé is popular when a winery this successful is willing to add that to their stable. And it's quite good, Sangiovese.
So is that on special this week at Bottle Blur?
The Chardonnay is, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Till it runs out.
Rosé is limited. That's just, you know, whatever we get, that's we throw it out there and then it's gone.
And this is what, Copain?
Yeah, so this one was
one never heard of them.
Press Democrat. They were purchased not long ago by Kendall Jackson Group.
Hmm.
Yeah, beautiful property.
Wells Guthrie is the winemaker, and he's a very, very talented guy. And this particular wine is really unusual in one respect, because it's actually got a little bit of barrel fermentation, as I recall.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So by probably about 20%, I'm guessing. But it doesn't show the wood at all. I mean, I've had this twice, and I just adore this wine. This is as good a rosé as there is on the shelf today.
Really?
Fruit is from Mendocino County, all Pinot Noir, Tousse Ensemble Rosé, and this is on special at $19.99 right now. And, yeah, it's been flying.
That's an amazing price, actually, because you don't see this for under 20 bucks any place. So that's amazing.
All right, Dan Barwick made it in from Paradise Ridge, the winemaker. Dan, good to see you.
You too.
I got to ask the first question that I've been wondering about since the fires. From what I understand, Paradise Ridge is going to rebuild. It's probably going to take a while, but is that the case?
It is indeed. They will build, and things are just coming together to start the construction phase.
Oh, good.
Good architects, good construction companies. So lots of paperwork and lots of things to manage.
Move Dan's mic over. Thank you.
Things to manage. Fortunately, I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, but you make the
Sonia Renee, that's right.
So what happened during the fires? We know what happened to the structures and everything, but the wine. Was there smoke damage?
We lost all the wine from 2017 and most of it from 16.
Oh, my God, that's right. I'd forgotten that. So, wow.
Yeah, we've got to drink something else in the meantime. So I've been busy.
There you go.
Well, as Dan and I were talking about a little while ago, Paradise Ridge is the most spectacular view of Santa Rosa in Santa Rosa. The whole place is just amazing. And from what I understand, the big love sign did make it through the fires.
Yeah,
right?
It's amazing. All the sculptures survived. I mean, this vance danced around, and there's wooden sculptures that it just dodged. So,
unbelievable.
The god of the arts was looking over somewhere.
Is that Mike on their cover page?
It looks like him, doesn't it?
Yeah,
looks like Mike DeWald. No. okay, so give us some of the history of Paradise Ridge, and your history as a winemaker.
That the winery made their first wine in 1991.
Wow.
They opened the winery in 94. I took over the wines in 1998. The winery is owned by the Bick family. Yeah. The second generation are now managing and running the winery.
Right. Renee has been in many times.
Yeah. You know. He's got the good stories, too. Right. I've been there since 1998. I look after the vineyards and the winemaking.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Paradise Ridge over the years?
I think in the last several years, Dan has been focusing a little bit more on some of the cooler regions of Russian River Valley. And you're using Russian River like it's your pet project, because some of those wines that you're making, that Sauvignon Blanc in particular, Sauvignon Blanc for some winemakers is a little too cool for Russian River is too cool for Sauvignon Blanc. But you love that character.
It's my favorite project for Paradise
really
Ridge and for Trichini too. And it's all done in the vineyard, and my feet are in the vineyards the whole season and looking at what's going on, tweak here, tweak there, but as hands off as I can be. But when you need to make a little intervention, that's when you do it. You
know? How long have you been in the wine business, and how did you get started?
We worked at Harrods in London, and wow. I worked in the wine department.
One of my favorite London wineries.
Yeah. Well, it was a good place to be in London in the late 70s, early 80s.
Wow.
I'm not sure if everyone's familiar with it. It's six floors, and it's probably about 6 acres big. And
yeah, it's pretty much
a lot of people working there.
The most famous
I imagine so.
Store of its kind in the world, probably.
And I worked in the food halls there for several years.
Did Fayette own it back then?
He took over when I was on my last sort of couple of years. He took over.
How was he to work for?
It was great. He'd walk, stroll around, and he was pretty chill.
He's the father, of course, of Dodi Fayette, who was killed along with Princess Di.
Yeah.
Where did you study to become a winemaker? Did you study?
I've done a few classes at Davis to understand the chemistry.
Okay, yeah.
I've done viticulture classes, just weekend courses at the JC here, the junior college here, and at Davis too. In fact, I'm probably a student of the great Rich Thomas.
Yeah,
we love Rich. Every time he comes in, he drops a bunch of S-bombs, and Mike has to keep his finger on the button there. Rich is an amazing dude.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's incredible. That was you have everybody there in the same class, people who own wineries now and tracts of land and vineyards. It was a great, really a great time.
And Rich was the man at SRJC, folks.
Yeah.
How's he doing? Do we know?
Yeah, I saw him. I mean, God bless you, Rich. I'm just thrilled to see you still alive.
Yeah.
Well, he went through.
Well, you said that to me when you came in too. So.
Well, it's the wine.
Did you guys taste this rosé? I'm not going to taste that today. It's Copain.
Yeah.
Now where are
Copain?
They? Copain.
Yeah, is that West East Side Road, West Side Road?
Not possible.
It's on that
East Side Road.
Same road that
East Side Road.
East Side, and you eventually wind up at William Selyum further down the road at West Side when you cross over. And
William Selyum was in
same
last week,
view.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. How come I haven't heard of Copain or Copain?
Used to be mostly, they used to be mostly mailing lists, small, and I think Kendall Jackson has brought them up a little bit, some other grape sources, and it's been a very good operation from day one.
This is a rosé of Pinot Noir 2017. You guys are tasting this. Dan, I heard you say...
Pretty dry.
That you liked it a lot.
If you rank them on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of dryness, it'd be about a 1.5. Mm-hmm. It's pretty dry.
Yeah.
It may be, 4 grams of residual sugar, perhaps. But the nice thing is that it does have this undertone of some red fruit in the aftertaste, and that's partly due to the fact that it was barrel fermented, I believe, or about a quarter of it was. And it gives it texture, and I love this texture of this wine. And this is really good to go with salmon.
Yeah.
Or something like
that. The other Dan B., your thoughts on this rosé?
Yeah, lovely, delicious.
Do you make a rosé?
We do.
Well, everyone does now.
We do. We actually we make a rosé from the estate red fruit now. So we've gone. We were doing Syrah and Zin, and we're making a rosé from Grasse and Syrah now, not making a still wine from that.
So this may be a non-professional question because I'm not a wine professional, but after the fires, are you still making – well, obviously, you're making some new wine, right?
How's
that working?
So fire happened Sunday night, Monday morning. I was on the phone looking for fruit.
Really?
Yep.
Did you actually get some fruit?
I did. I got some Rockpile Grenache and some Rockpile Cab.
Rockpile Grenache. Whoa.
That could be
interesting.
I'm going to woo you even more. Because
okay.
of the wine I bought, I know you've never had.
That's my favorite red wine grape.
Dan Berger, a wine he's never had? I didn't think there was such a thing.
I guarantee it.
Wow.
$20?
No.
I want to remind you, we're going early today with Cal Dan Barwick, the winemaker at Paradise Ridge since 98. That's a long time.
Yeah, 20 years, 20 vintages.
Yeah, that's a damn good run. I also want to remind you that you can hear every episode of California Wine Country on any great place that plays
distributes
whatever podcasts or you can go to calwinecountry.com and check out every episode and make sure you What do you call it, Mike?
Subscribe.
Thank you.
Like what you used to do with magazines.
It's free to subscribe.
Give you a rinse.
Mike would tell you otherwise, saying if you pay Mike $10, you're subscribed, but you don't have to do that. It's free to subscribe. Check it out on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and calwinecountry.com and any other ones. But please subscribe. It makes us smile, and it doesn't cost you anything. All right. This is a what Grenache? A Grenache what?
Oh, this is. I don't know what you're serving.
Grenache.
No clue.
Oh, you haven't gotten that far?
I got this. I just.
Yeah, that's.
Did you
that's
get
it.
That? I don't know what you're doing.
No.
Oh, right.
I'm still on the Ferrari Carano chart.
You're not letting go?
No, I'll let go.
It's just fascinating wine. I have no clue what this is. So, is it grape variety? It's all it's like 100% of this?
100%.
Oh, okay. That's what I was
2007.
Asking. Can I see the bottle? I'm sorry.
Seeing if you can get it. And to give you a better clue, it is the only white grape grown in that appellation, or AVA.
Ooh, look at that look at his face.
It is the only white grape grown in that AVA.
You may have stumped Mr. Dan Lay It Down Burger.
It's a little bit chalky character in the mid palate. The only possibility that this could be would be some one of the so it's like claret or one of those white Rhone varieties like claret or bourbon or something like that.
Yeah, it's you're close. Yeah, it's Grenache Blanc from Rockpile.
Grenache Blanc, so, same region.
Yeah,
Rockery. Oh.
But did you stump him officially?
We're all friends here.
I know Dan loves Grenache, right?
Yeah. But this is the white version. This is not the red grape that was made white. This is actually a grape variety called Grenache Blanc, which the federal government didn't even know existed until about 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
So for you, 13.2 alcohol, 3.2 pH.
There you go.
Bone dry.
This is my kind of wine.
Mm. Okay, I need to have a taste here. I can't wait for this Lazy Susan so we're not scraping wine glasses across.
Delicate flavors, gorgeous flavors. This is one of the. So, what really appellation nice is that? Rockpile. Yeah.
The Gary Branham Vineyard, which is the furthest reaching vineyard in the AVA, almost in Mendocino.
You know
what year is this again? I'm sorry.
17.
Will this show any development in about 2 years?
It'll be interesting. This is the first time we had a shot at it.
I see. It will be
stable from now on.
The acid is so strong with this wine, and I would like to see it in a couple of years.
Yeah, I think it'll be delicious.
It's delicious right now, if you ask me.
It's really tasty wine. It didn't see any wood, did it?
No.
Like the chalky description, I think that's right on. It's got a nice.
So we bottled it a few months ago, and it's got this lovely white fruit. Stone fruit on the nose, white flowers, and a real nice sort of apricot stone or peach stone on the nose.
I like this variety a lot better than Marsan and Roussan, which come from that same district. But to me, those grapes are a little bit too, I hate to say boring. This one is usually have a bit, a little bit better acid profile.
Yeah, it's, I mean, to when I was reading about different Grenache Blancs throughout the grown in the planet, it's not known to have this keen acidity. And just happens up there with the cool breeze and the well-drained soil and crop it right, balance of vines, and it, bam, you can...
How many cases did you make?
A couple of hundred, I think. 150, maybe.
That's it.
Yeah.
Will it be in your tasting room?
Not looking good for bottle
drinking. It is, but it's meant to be a wine club only, but you know, I'm sure you can twist someone's arm if you want to boil.
Okay. It's really
well, Barry may twist your arm in the hallway after the show because he would love to have a few.
Or I'll corner Renee next time.
And the package, the package is
he's softy.
Fabulous. It's a clear flint bottle.
Yeah, I like the package.
And a screw cap to keep it fresh. What a nice package. And still silk strained. Beautiful. So
you've got a long-term then. Deal with this, you'll be making.
Yeah, we're very good friends. Gary Branham, I don't know if you know, used to be the winemaker at Sutter Home many, many years ago and was responsible for a lot of fresh young wines.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is from the Branham Vineyard.
Yeah,
he still with us?
Yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah, cool. He's awesome. And so we get the whole, pretty much, probably 75% of his whole vineyard. And we've got Grenache Noir, Grenache Blanc, Malbec, Carignan, Zinfandel, Petit Syrah, Cabernet Syrah, and Cab Franc and Cabernet.
Did you fully expound on this? I was sending a text message.
I
was in the Bahamas for a few minutes. I'm back now.
The beautiful acidity is what carries this wine, and it's not austere. What more than anything else, it gives you that profile of the minerality, and that is really a wine to pour with some food. And then, like I said, in my own, if I have a bottle of this, I'm putting it away for 2 years just to see, because this really has got a future, I think, the great acidity.
Yeah.
It is California Wine Country with Dan Berger, today featuring Dan Barwick, winemaker at Paradise Ridge. And we mentioned Gary Branham. I just got an email from listener Geraldine, who says, we know Gary Branham very well, love his wine, great rock pile Zin. Nice to hear you mention him.
My pleasure. Great guy to work with. We have a great time.
Daniel?
Well, rock piles are a really wonderful property for vineyards. It's only been on the boards probably for, what, a decade or more?
2002.
2000, so it's
2002,
So 16 years. It's a challenging district, as you can imagine by the name, and it does produce some fabulous...
Did you just take a sip out of the dump cup?
No, I was spinning it.
Oh.
Do you think this is sideways?
It looked like it was taking a sip, but okay, never mind, sorry.
All right, that's fine.
It's an optical illusion. Haven't gotten there
yet. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I think Rockpile's got a future in the marketing department because of the fact that it's easy from the name just to identify the kind of wine it is. It's going to be big and chewy, typically. You're not going to see very much white wine up there.
No.
This Paradise Ridge 2017 Grenache Blanc, and it's only 13 alcohol.
Correct.
Which is
you imagine that
nice.
With some scallops.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
Oysters?
Oysters?
Sure.
Scallops? Yeah.
Yeah, salumi. Yeah, all good.
Oh, yeah.
Or mussels from New Zealand, but that's another story.
Dan Barwick, the winemaker at Paradise Ridge, which unfortunately burned pretty much all the way during the fires, they are going to be rebuilding. It will take some time, obviously. But is there any, and I don't want to pigeonhole you here or put you up against it to have an answer for this, but Renee or the Bick family, anyone saying when this could possibly be back up and running as beautiful as it was? I mean, is there a ballpark figure? Or?
Yeah, at the end of next summer, they hope to have it.
Oh.
July would be the goal, and we shall
see. That's
pretty
quick.
Yeah.
We have a crush pad at least by this coming harvest.
I will be making wine elsewhere for probably
really
the rest of my tenure because... just the paperwork and the challenges to build a production facility in the Russian River drain basin is
But you'll still be part of Paradise
Ridge.
I will,
making it somewhere else, and I've got a great place to make it, great team. So I'm totally stoked. Flanagan Winery in...
Flanagan is top drawer. We had them on the show here about 4 months ago.
On West Dry Creek.
So for folks who aren't as into Paradise Ridge as Barry, Dan, and I are, what... You guys make a lot of different varietals.
We do. Maybe 20.
Wow.
Wow. That's getting up there.
Well, they keep trying to, we keep trying to dial it back, and then these wonderful opportunities like Grenache Blanc come along, and it's difficult to walk away from that, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think
so. You can't stop an enthusiast like Dan Barwick very much. He sees the grapes and they look like they're going to do something. He does it with them.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, I've been looking at this vineyard and coveting it for 5 years.
that's stocking it. That's really the story of how programs develop. Sometimes the winery needs to have something for the club program, so they make a little bit of wine. The next thing you know is you're making more than you ever thought you'd make. So.
Yeah, yeah, but I make them all for me, and well, they don't let me drink. Others get to.
Well, I think the most important thing about Paradise Ridge is the fact that it's the closest winery to downtown Santa Rosa of any of the properties in this county. And literally, you can be there in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And the experiences are incredible. Not only is there art on the property, the great view that Steve talked about, but also these astounding wines, which have just gotten better and better and better over the last several years. And I think part of it is that you really are looking outside your local zone for the best fruit that you can get. You go far and wide to find that stuff.
We're really Russian River Valley and Rock Pile. We're really staying with that thread. It's probably two of the most outstanding AVAs in Sonoma County. I mean, making very distinctive wines. And what a thrill, you know. A butcher from England comes to me.
Yeah, where did you grow up in England?
At southeast corner place. I was born in Dover. And
the White Cliffs?
That's it. Yeah, everyone knows. Yeah,
I love that. I've always wanted to see those.
Well.
Yeah, they have nice chalky soils there.
Yeah. I mean, it's now turned into quite the wine business. The same chalk that's in Champagne, of course, that it comes up again in the southeast of England, or the south of England, right across the south of England. So there's more and more vineyards being planted there. And from tasting them and reading what they're doing in international competition, they're doing some serious stuff.
Yeah, no, it's in a wine tasting with Champagne. You'd be hard-pressed.
Where is Dover on the British map?
It's the southeast corner. So you can, if you stand on the White Cliffs of Dover, you can see France, as I would say.
Is that near the Cornish?
No, the other end of the country. That's west. We're east.
Okay. Obviously, I've never been there.
Well, you could look at the globe.
Yeah, well.
You can put your car on the ferry.
That's right. We grew up going to put in the car on the ferry and driving to France for the day.
So, Dan.
I can tell you some stories.
Dan Berger, tell me about, you mentioned your thoughts on Paradise Ridge through the years and such.
Well,
what are the standout wines that you've tasted over the years?
For me, the number one wine is the Sauvignon Blanc. I think that's just a startling wine, and I think it's under the radar because it doesn't really get widely distributed like some of these brands. But the most impressive thing for me, starting about 05 or 06, was that Dan's red wines were suddenly jumped into the competition level at the very highest levels. I don't know what took place, but you really changed your source of fruit, apparently, because this stuff was really screaming outrageous starting in the mid-00s.
Yeah, I think I started in 98, and I think it takes 5 years to wrap your head around the vineyard and understand what's going on. And these were younger vineyards, so they were evolving. So we sort of grew up together, all these vineyards that I work with now. And now that they're, we'll call it mature, but I'm still having Gary Branham just planted some Cab Franc and some Cabernet for us, which I'm really excited about working with. And so I think that's really the combination of the vineyards evolving and developing, becoming mature, and me understanding it and getting better at my game.
You also made a really good Meritage-type wine. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's a beauty. We've got that in the store.
Yeah, that's what's the name of that? I forget.
I'm blocking on it right now.
It's a
the posse. The confessor.
I think the second one.
The confessor.
Yeah.
So the confessor. That's a great story. The confessor. Mm-hmm. Now it got its name. Is my aunt back in England did a heraldry research and found a relative of mine that goes all the way back to 1060 to a guy called Robert de Den, who was the wine steward to Edward the Confessor.
Wow. What the hell, in fact?
What the hell did Eddie confess to?
Yeah, you know. Edward is an interesting, so you have to look it up. But to go that far back, nearly 1,000 years, and have this wine association is just, you can't walk away from that.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Meant to be.
But those Cabernets that you've been making, this to me, the secret is how great the structure is. The tannins are not ever aggressive, but the acid is high enough so that you know that you can age the wine.
Yeah. The Rock Pile Vineyard and what it produces is just a dream. I'm so lucky to work with this extraordinary vineyard, which is now under the stewardship of the Wilson family. And working with them has been absolutely terrific. I was very nervous, but they're doing a great job. They're looking after the vineyards, they're looking after the land, and doing everything we want. I mean, you pick this fruit, can pick this Cabernet at 23.5 bricks. It's fully ripe. It's got all the components that you expect from Cabernet. And pay a little attention at the winery and the processing, and there it is. You know?
Now, you also made a really wonderful Pinot Noir about 2 years ago, and I forget which one. Was that the 13 or 12? I can't recall.
Well, they were all wonderful.
They're all wonderful, Ira.
I think the one you were thinking of is the 2012 Walter's Vineyard Pinot Noir.
Just incredible wine.
Yeah.
You didn't make much of that.
That was that vineyard was, I think, the first crop was 2010, so it's still a young vineyard. It's just really showing what it can do now. I think possibly an extraordinary, unique microclimate. Great soil. It's a range of sort of volcanic influence and sandy loam and well-drained soils, and this very unique site on the eastern fringes of the Santa Rosa Plain in the Russian River Valley. And one of the unique thing about this, it can be colder at 10 o'clock than 8 o'clock.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, as the fog, as it warms up in the day, that fog lifts, and the wind, the breeze blows that fog over us. And the temperature can actually lower, and I think that is incredibly unique.
Any of those older vintages available in your tasting room?
One of the biggest travesties and the sadnesses that I have of the fire is that we moved all our library wines to the winery the week before we had the fire came.
Nice. You know, I had heard, I think Renee, who was in right after the fires, mentioned that.
Yeah, and that was the outside of all the tragic losses that
you can always rebuild the winery, which you guys are doing, and all the structures, but
memories
all the life.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
What a shame.
Well, okay, so club members will come up with some bottles for you. Right?
There's always, I think everyone here in Sonoma County has those moments of sadness when they think of things and look at what wasn't there, isn't there anymore. And
explain again. Okay, you're going to be making wines off-site from Paradise Ridge, but it's all going to be the Paradise Ridge label.
Correct.
You're not starting your own winery.
No.
You're just, okay.
No, that's what a lot of wineries are called, virtual wineries, so they don't actually have their own brick and mortar.
Right.
Sometimes they'll have their own vineyards, but they use different facilities throughout the county.
About 50 years ago, maybe even more, the federal government listened carefully to what was actually happening in the wine industry.
And wait a minute, they listened?
They
remember back in the day when they did?
That's right, and I'm old enough to remember.
Me too.
Anyway, what ended up happening was very curious is that they decided they were going to allow the words estate bottle to mean something.
Yeah, right.
Since then, it's all degraded. It's all fell apart. The consumer in this country has no clue what the words estate bottle mean anymore. There's no particular justification for spending a whole ton of money having an estate bottled wine. And this makes economic as well as quality wine sense. for...
So anyone can say this is a state bottle?
No, it's not that. It's just that to spend the money to say a state bottle was, in theory, a valid, if not important, argument. Today, it doesn't really mean anything. It's the phrase doesn't have the same impact that the government thought it was going to have back 50 years ago.
Interesting. Dan, your thoughts? The other Dan?
It's really the most important designation you can have on the bottle, but it isn't really understood by the consumer.
Yeah.
Unless you're in a direct consumer relationship, then perhaps it'll mean more, but you've already evolved that relationship and they understand it. So,
making one at a high-quality facility is far more important than sacrificing wine quality just so you can say a state bottle on the label. You have to make a choice. And if you're going to be spending money to rebuild an entire winery from ground zero, the amount of money you're putting in for example, let's give you one example, a crushing machine, which... you use for a couple of weeks and you put a tarp on it. This isn't exactly a good use of capital. It
just makes economic sense.
A good one of those is tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
All right, we're wrapping up California Wine Country.
Could I just quickly say happy birthday, Len, 100 years this year. Congratulations.
Who's 100 years besides me?
My friend. I'm just doing a personal little input here for a very special lady that I know called... Leonard, her name is, and she comes from the south, and she now lives here in Hillsburg. One of Nature's beautiful people.
Cool. Did you say a happy 100th birthday?
100.
100.
She'll be 100. The police busted up her 97th birthday.
Right. I like her already.
Got a little out of hand, huh?
Seriously.
Seriously.
Wow.
Or was it the 96th?
Happy birthday, dear. Wow. Pretty cool. I'm turning 100 in 2 years, so I'm...
Back to the basketball,
I watched my first game ever in Chicago. I was visiting a friend. And
Michael Jordan time? Or?
No, this is last November.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't been to another game. And I watched my first Warriors game the other night when they lost it. And I think it was the fifth game.
Yeah, game two.
Was it?
From the series before that.
That, yeah.
With the Houston Rockets.
That was a pretty exciting game.
Yeah.
And I really, I watch any game for the moment, whether it's soccer or cricket or,
About this basketball. Cricket thing.
Your show's not long enough for this.
Can we get you back on any day just to talk about cricket and explain it to us? Because we don't get it.
There has to be visuals. It's not something you can do
on the radio.
Yeah. But you can listen to cricket on the radio.
If you're totally into it, I suppose, yeah. I've never understood it, but I want to.
Well, we did spend some time going watch a cricket match. We can sit there and
there's cricket matches around here?
There are teams. I think this one in Marin, and I haven't ever been to one, but one of the greatest things I do is it lasts all day.
Yeah. So you Two can days. Get...
Yeah, sometimes 3 days.
Yeah, I've heard that. Now, see, Americans are going like, oh, come on, get on with it.
Yeah. It's a great game, but you just have to be in that right frame of mind. Yeah. And you sit there for throughout the afternoon from 11 through to sunset and watch a game. And
wow.
There may be a few beverages involved.
Do you think? Wow, very cool. Dan Barwick, the winemaker, longtime winemaker at Paradise Ridge, is with us. Dan Herbst and Dan Berger and Dan Ratto is in the studio, my business partner. And, of course, my producer, Dan DeWald. So, yes.
We're all Dan for a day.
Yes, we are all celebrating the Dans.
Tell us about rosé, Barry.
Yes, rosé. Our tasting it depends if you're going or not. The tasting sold out, so the Hyatt tasting on the 21st. But if you follow our social media, we'll be giving away tickets to a few lucky folks. And then we'll
we'll be talking about it, even though it's sold out. We're going to be reminding everyone. And don't you have a waiting list?
Yeah, we'll build up a waiting list for last minute cancellations. We can slot people in.
Okay.
And then we're already working on our next tasting in August, which will probably be Pinot Noir like we did last year. And then hopefully sparkling after that. The fires interrupted our plans for that last year, but we're going to
That would be like in the fall, getting ready for Thanksgiving
October,
and the holidays.
For the holidays,
And I've asked you for the last few years, when's the Chardonnay tasting?
That's I'm feeling strong about a spring Chardonnay tasting. Feeling good about that. We'll get through the holidays and the cold weather.
Kathy, make sure the nursing team keeps me alive for that. I just got a one-minute signal from my producer. A special thanks to the winemaker for a long time at Paradise Ridge, Dan Barwick. Great to see you, man.
Happy to be here.
Beautiful stuff. And, of course, Dan Berger and Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn. We'll see you all next Wednesday.
See you then.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Ciao.
All right.